field to win a national tenants bill of rights. We actually can't exist in the realm of message bills anymore. It's not going to cut it. We learned some hard lessons during the fight for cancel rent about that power that we do not have to win what we need yet. So currently we're in the process of the largest field operation that the tenant movement has ever seen. We're attempting to engage over 1 million tenants in the process of writing their own rights into existence. And through that process, we're hoping to build the power that we will ultimately need to not only introduce a National Tenants Bill of Rights that's written by us, but also win that National Tenants Bill of Rights to correct that balance of power in the direction of the tenant.
Tara Ragavir, director of KC Tenants, which is a grassroots tenant-led organization based in Kansas City. She's also with People's Action. To see our interviews last week with Congressmembers Ilhan Omar and Cori Bush, who both slept outside on the Capitol steps to demand the Biden administration reimpose the rent moratorium, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe, protect yourself, your family, community, wear a mask.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Personnel Governance Committee will meet on Tuesday, August 10th at 6 p.m. instead of the second Monday this month. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01. It's Monday. Time for more talk radio with your hosts, Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Stay tuned.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metropolitan area. If you are in Hood River, Oregon, or White Summit, Washington, 91.9. In Philomath, Oregon, it's 104.3. And on the web, everywhere, kboo.fm. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Celeste Carey. I'm here with my cohort in conversation, Cecil Prescott. Morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Celeste.
What you up to?
Hey, I'm excited. I can go to Canada now.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
What, you got your passport or something else happened?
Well, Canada lifted the ban of U.S. citizens coming into the country. So if you're vaccinated, you can go to Canada now.
Oh, Canada. Well, I have to say I'm fine of Canada. I was telling a friend of mine that they may want to go visit the Niagara Falls, and they want, you know, I'm not endorsing, I don't get no money for this, y'all. But there is a wonderful ride, and if it hasn't succumbed to COVID, it's the Maid of the Mist ride. And what was so wonderful about it is that they did both the American and the Canadian sides of the Niagara Falls, and they poised right, oh, I don't know how far off of the actual drop point, but it was wonderful. You got your raincoat, you put it on, and you were just bathed in the mist, and it was beautiful. Rainbows abounded, and so did joy. And it was one of my most memorable trips.
Excellent.
You know, and then on top of that, I love Toronto. Toronto is beautiful.
Great.
So, all right, Canada. So what was your highlight of the week besides the fact that now you can go to Canada? And assuming you got your passport already.
Well, the other highlight is that, you know, certain restaurants and bars in Portland have banded together to require proof of vaccination to enter into their establishment. Although I haven't been, but I thought that was curious.
Well, you know, I'm not going to ask like we are the seers of the century, anything like that. But, you know, back when they first talked about you were going to have to get a vaccine and that you were going to be given a card, we talked about how that was going to be used, you know, and how that was a slippery slope. And then it really became politicized, and we talked about how it looked like it was going to create a double-tiered system, or a two, I don't want to say two-tiered, but a tiered system of access and enfranchisement, as well as maybe a, oh, I don't know what we say, maybe a group of people who were going to be kind of like scorned or looked upon because they didn't have it. And well, and we also talked about the fact that, oh my goodness, now you can get a card without taking a shot.
Well, I
you
think
because they were on the black market.
Well, I think this has happened in response to the libertarian impulses of so many people saying that no one can tell me what to do, and with the rise of infections and hospitalization and the lack of government courage to mandate mask wearing or vaccinations, it has left it up to private industry to stand up to protect their employees and their customers. So I think it's only proper and right in a healthy emergency when people fail to seek the welfare of their neighbor that it is left up to private industry to stand up where our government and individuals have failed to stand up for the good of the most people.
Well, you know, we talked about that too, in that if we as a culture are not looking we're not looking at ways to cross that divide. I mean, we talked about the fact that there's a necessity for us to talk to people, have some empathy and understanding, and understand why folks are resistant. For some people, you know, if you take the moment to talk to them, it's based in a historical reality of not trusting the government, and so it's not necessarily just a politicization of the facts or of the consequences of catching or spreading COVID. And you know, I want to encourage people to remember that. When was the last time somebody hit you in the head? And I mean that both figuratively, in terms of a barrage of facts, but also just with the kind of vehemence and anger, you know, attached. When was the last time somebody hit you in the head with facts that they actually made you say, oh, my bad, I need to change my mind? You're absolutely right. How could I have thought like that? And you know, and I'm not being facetious. I'm really serious, because it takes being able to understand where people are coming from to bridge those gaps.
It does.
And to understand that maybe somebody's just fearful. Maybe they've had a medical history that makes them anxious about it. I got a letter from one of our listeners, and I'll just call her by her first name, April. And she was wondering how come on the station we don't talk about that so much in the news. And I guess we can kind of address it a little bit today, but I also wanted to talk about a couple of other issues. But let me backstep here a little bit and let you finish developing your topic here before I go running amok.
Well, I don't have much to say. I guess frustrated and angry and have little sympathy for those who are responsible for this expanding this pandemic, when simple things such as wearing masks and washing your hands before the vaccine was available and distancing could have kept the infection rate lower. After the vaccine became available, being vaccinated would have prevented the virus from mutating. And I am frustrated by those who lift up their own so-called personal freedom over the health of their community. I'm particularly angry at those who wear the banner of religious and fail to recognize a premise of many religious groups, which say that love of neighbor or supporting the other is primary. And I'm frustrated and angry by the lack of inconsistency. Most people, I think, stop at a red light. And if they don't stop, their argument isn't, I have the freedom to go against the red light. Most people, I think, continuing on that, wear a seatbelt. And most people make sure or welcome the fact that the FDA is available and that their food is safe. So I'm just, you know, generally angry and upset because of the selfishness of so many people in our society and the lack of political strength and commitment of leaders to lead. But I'll get off of my soapbox and we can talk about, you know, a multitude of issues. Yeah, go ahead, Celeste.
Well, you know, I've noticed that this apparently there's been some other deeper issues. I mean, we both lost a mutual friend to this disease, and so I can appreciate how people not stepping up to the plate and being involved and you know, being their brother and sister's keeper is really important to you, because I feel it too. But I kind of want to take a different tack. And I know we've talked before about how being angry, being kept in a state of anger and irritation, it affects, it negatively affects our ability to make decisions. And when I was listening to the news today, and I was listening to Amy Goodman and the woman who was the executive director of a tenant program in Kansas City, Missouri, it reinforced my thoughts about doing this and bringing this up again. And I kind of want to talk about the juxtaposition of two ideas, and it kind of fits in with where you're going to. One of them is to kind of revisit this whole thing of when we're kept angry or we're kept irritated, anger impacts our ability to make sound judgment and sound decisions. But I also want to add an article that I read last week, or it might even been older than that. And I first saw it in on Yahoo, and then I went to find the actual article. And I was kind of fascinated by the premise that it made. And the article was actually written in 2018. But first I'll reference the Yahoo article. And it was the infantilization of Western culture. And I first came across it by noticing some years ago, 10 years or maybe more, how if you notice a lot of ads on television or even some shows for entertainment, they would use cartoons, you know, animation. And I thought that was interesting. I thought, well, why is there so many more? And then I found this article that said that in marketing to the youngest of the generation behind the boomers, and then the generation behind them, in other words, our grandchildren or children, the millennials, you would find that they respond better to animation. And I thought, now that's interesting. So they don't respond as well to seeing real people as they do to animation. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe that's why some things like, what was this brand of insurance? Esurance, and then what's another one? The General, they use animations. They use cartoons. You were going to see cartoons selling you everything from insurance to batteries to bathroom tissue, you know, just everything. Yeah. And it seemed to work. And I wonder, okay, what's going on? When you take that whole idea that that is a successful method, a successful dynamic in advertising and in psychology by ways of controlling people or manipulating people or persuading people, to use perhaps the less malignant of all of those phrases, you know, and then the fact that we're kept in a state of perpetual anger and frustration by people being not impartial, not calm, not trying to be reasonable, but agitated and extreme and emotionally volatile, even when their newscasters are supposed to be giving us good news. You know, you start thinking, wait a minute, I kind of feel like somebody's plucking the strings of my nerves. I feel like I'm being played, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then to hear you being angry and having, you know, what I will say, you know, regardless of what y'all think, I'll call it a righteous anger, you know, about the fact that people are not doing things the way they should. I started looking at how we're living in what I call the drumbeat of war perpetually. And, you know, you look at how there have been, what is it, maybe 4,000 disruptive passengers on airline flights. And that boggles my mind because, you know, you're sitting in a sardine can 5 to 10 miles above the earth, flying at 500 miles an hour, and you feel safe enough to act a fool. That's beyond me, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't lose my mind with fear when I go on the plane. I actually love flying, but I'm a lot more respectful of the fact that my feet aren't on the ground, and if something goes wrong, you can't pull over to the side of the sky. You know, it's not like a car. And so I'm wondering what has us in this perpetual state of volatility. How are you dealing with this? How do you regain your common sense and settle down? Because if we don't really start exercising something really critical, which is critical thinking, critical reasoning, you know, probably the least of our worries is that we're just going to lose a few years of our life to stress. And you really bring it to a head by mentioning this whole idea of people won't wear the mask, and I'm indignant, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, and like I said, some righteous anger. And so I was wondering, people, have you noticed this? Have you found that it is making agreement harder in your life? Is it making agreement harder within your families over things? Has everything just become so politicized? So you can share with us your experience, whether it's how you got really ticked off at whoever your letter carrier were because they didn't bring you that love letter, you know, please, Mr. Postman. Or you can complain about how somebody didn't get out of your way fast enough so you could get to the ATM, or they were looking over your back. Or, you know, that, and you can see how maybe you're in that perpetual edge. But give us a call and talk about how you see the infantilization of our society, the hyper emotive state that we seem to be kept in by all these frustrations, working on you and perhaps eroding your ability to, like, slow down, calm down, regroup, and even talk to people in a way that helps both of the parties understand and see each other.
Would you like to give them the phone number?
Yes, I am. You got me right there. 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187 here for More Talk Radio.
And that article you mentioned, the infantilization of Western culture, is by Professor of Sociology Simon Gottschalk, Gottschalk.
Yes. And Simon Gottschalk is a professor out of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And, you know, I would think that would be a prime place to watch how we are being kind of infantilized, you know, made childish, kind of like stopped in our tracks from being reasonable people. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our first caller. Good morning.
Cody.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste.
How are you doing?
Good. Celeste and Cecil. C and C.
Just keep it like that.
Excuse me?
C and C. It doesn't matter.
C and C. Okay. All right. All right. That's a good one. Cecil is, he's frustrated because people are selfish. You know, because they you know, we're talking about decades of American conditioning that's being turned on a dime. And Miss Celeste, she's saying, hey, people need to cool down a little bit. We don't have enough critical thinking. You know, who wants to die with a heart attack, right? People need to calm down, right? Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that there are a lot of facts that people aren't talking about over the air. And there's a lot of politics involved with this science now. And no one's really trying to stick to the scientific principle anymore.
Oh, yes.
The politicians are getting involved. And a lot of people are very distrustful of politicians. But most of all, they're probably becoming more distrustful now. Because people aren't really getting any hard facts about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then a good example is, you know, there's a neighbor, two people, one person decides they want to get the shot because, you know, they're thinking about the larger whole. The other person says, well, no, I don't want to get the shot. And the other person might get a little frustrated with them, like Cecil got a little frustrated this morning, which is good. You know, we're human. And then the person who did get the shot say, well, did you know that none of those shots are fully approved by the FDA? So you want me to take a chance on my life and my health with basically an experimental drug? And the other frustrated person says, no, that's not real. It's not an experimental drug. It's on an emergency, what do you call it? Emergency approval. Mm-hmm. Which are two very different things. But you notice no one's really talking about those details.
Right.
No, and it's over the air. It's almost as though anyone who's over the air, who like has the airwaves, like the CNC team, right? It's like men and women in black knocked at your doors and said, "You better continue to confuse the issue, or else you're going to get in trouble." You feel me?
Well, you know, there's somebody knocking on somebody's door that says, "Hey, I got more money for you if you keep confusing people." You know, now that's real.
Well, see, that's the thing about it is no one's really talking about details and giving anyone any type of information that they can use because it appears as though there's a lot of obfuscation concern and a great deal of things.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, concerning Cuomo, you know, he's in trouble, and they're saying he's in trouble with those little girls, but he's actually probably more in trouble with the hospital thing concerning all of the drugs and ventilators and everything having to do with the lockdown. He's probably in more trouble. He made a boo-boo there, and no one really wants to talk about that. So they say, well, we still got to get rid of him. There's a lot of sleight of hand going on. And
well, how do we get over that? Because you share the fact that a lot of it is being obscured and that facts are not available. And I would question that or ask, there are facts, there are things, and why aren't we able to meet those challenges?
Well, Celeste brought up a good point, and it has a lot to do with M-O-N-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I understand that this is a volunteer radio station, so I can pretty much assume that no one's shoveling large amounts of money into both of your bank accounts. You know what I mean? They could. We could do it for instance. Oh, my God. Cecil and Celeste are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what men and women in black tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that. I think you guys are volunteer radio station, and you're volunteering and you're talking about what the community is trying to talk about. And but we're talking about people getting frustrated and maybe they are getting a little emotional because their Pavlovian conditioning is being rudely interrupted. We're talking about, listen, we're talking about decades of my body, my choice, and now all of a sudden it's being turned around 180 degrees just like that.
Yeah.
And people feel like they're not getting enough of the facts, or like you said, they're smoke and mirrors. You know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and so you don't know what really is the truth or what really is the fact, because some of the media outlets are just as guilty of not presenting the whole story.
Well, look, it's either money or it's ego. And yep. A lot of people double down, and some people just don't want to say, I was wrong. So yeah. This thing is going to have to go in a particular direction, because we're dealing with the medical field and we're dealing with hard science here. And it's going to affect everyone one way or the other. Because right. In the old days, when people didn't get vaccinated, right, the people who did get vaccinated would say, hey, man, it's your life. If you want to drop dead, it's on you. I'm not mad at you. Now, all of a sudden, the people who were basically secure, who've had their shots, are upset at everyone else for not getting that shot. So, well, that's interesting. That's another 180 degree turn.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm going with? Okay.
You know, one thing you mentioned a little while ago, I don't want it to get beyond us, is the observation that the phrase that had been picked up by many of those who are against vaccination, the phrase, my body, my choice. And, you know, I'm sure many of us are familiar with that phrase originating with those who were struggling for the women's right to choose. I wonder if those who are now using that phrase for my body, my choice, will it come back to haunt them? Because those are the people most likely to be opposed to a woman's right to choose.
Well, and you know, Cecil, you said a great deal when you said that, and you're right. We don't want to go off into the weed, but we're talking about like the human organism and a barrier, a physical barrier being broken. It's not like politics or anything else to where it's all existential. We're talking about a physical barrier, your skin being broken, and substances, helpful substances, medical substances are being put into one's body. And it's no one really knows what the outcome of all of this is really going to be. But we knew the absolute outcome when it came up to the choice, the My Body, My Choice campaign. Something was going to go away.
Yes.
And one was guaranteed to live. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's questions about this. There's questions about, well, why don't everyone tell us about FDA given emergency approval, but it's still considered an experimental drug, and the FDA hasn't fully approved it.
So just to make sure, you said that there was no. I want to go back because I want to make sure I understand that in terms of my body, my choice. You said that there was no question that what?
That there was no question that a life form was going to end, whether it be in a zygote level or higher.
And so I would also say that that can also be said for those who are opposed to vaccination, that there is no question that a life or many lives might be impacted or lost or damaged because of the refusal to be vaccinated and to follow.
Well, you're saying vaccination in a very general term. We're talking about the vaccination, the vaccinations that are directly associated with our present present social issues right now. That's a different type of vaccination. The majority of a lot of these vaccinations have been approved, and they are safe.
Right.
Unfortunately, these particular four of them, that they're still experimental. So what we need to do is like put an addendum to the vaccination and say certain vaccinations are safer than others, instead of just saying vaccination in general. There are people who are splicing words right now, like lawyers right now, Cecil.
Well, yeah.
And they're noticing what people are not telling them. And there's a lot of sleight of hand with the language when they say, oh, well, that's stupid of you not to get vaccinations. Who said I don't like vaccinations? I had to get vaccinations in order to go to our public school. What are you talking about? Oh, well, vaccinations. Well, oh, let's be more specific. Let's talk about these particular vaccinations. And then that's when everything gets obfuscated.
Well, you know,
the reap and grab.
What you're saying, I think, is, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase it, and then we have a couple of other callers here on the line. You bring up some really good points, and that part of that obfuscation is what I'm talking about, is how that is something that keeps us in a state of agitation so that we don't dig deeper. But then we're also being treated as infants, and we're not given the whole story because, well, to be honest, big money wants to manipulate us. Big money wants our money, and you can't just get in our pocket and get our money. So you got to sweet talk us or convince us that it's actually your money, and why are we still holding on to it? And, you know, that's part of the issue. People feel that level of obfuscation. They feel the things are not being told, that the whole truth is not being put on the table in one form or another. And so you're getting the impasse that we're at with the vaccination is not surprising. It shouldn't be surprising with anyone. But what we should be doing is try to figure out how are we going to get that information. You know,
that's the main thing. We could get the information and we can make the decision, but we're still going to have to deal with societal pressures.
Yeah.
And one of those pressures is hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up. Don't think about it. Don't do your homework. Just hurry up. And if you don't, I'm going to give you some type of emotional response.
Well, this of course. Get you mad, get you irritated.
Well, it's the same exact process car salesmen go through when they're trying to push a car on you. That's questionable.
Well, you are bringing up lots of points, and I would love to sit here and talk with you some more, Cody. But we got two other folks on the line here.
Have a good day.
Call back again, though. We're not kicking you off. We're just moving on. Okay. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And you know what? We're not getting paid. The motivation to do this is to talk to each other, share a conversation, share philosophical points, ideologies, break down some barriers, and figure out ways to not be cogs in the machine, you know? Join in the conversation here. We're talking about this intersection of being kept angry and in the dark, being treated like children, and the strife that has come out of it that results in this particular instance, people not wanting to get the vaccine, when a lot of us feel that it's the one way we can get past this distasteful new normal. And just your conversation is welcome. 503-231-8187. We'll go to the next caller.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah. This is Robbie.
Hi, Robbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I wanted to bring up, it's frustrating for me because I've taken a lot of this stuff very serious before the pandemic, but I've noticed how we've been kind of corralled and we can't even talk about the certain subjects, stuff that like Cody was even bringing up.
Yes.
I mean, I'm trying to talk to a friend, you know, and we're talking about, you know, the subject, and it's like, well, did you, you know, and here's the thing. She was told by her doctor that the Moderna vaccine had went through trials on pregnant women. Come to find out, that just started July 22nd, and it's not going to end. It's on a clinicaltrials.gov. I mean, and the thing is I bring that up to her, and she was like, oh my gosh, my doctor told me that. And so, but here's the Moderna trial that just started on July 22nd, and it was a whole subset of clinical trials that were not done on pregnant or expecting women. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we have, you know, the data that's coming out of America regarding the vaccines is extremely different from the socialized healthcare systems of the UK, of Canada, of Israel, where it's showing that the shot is like 30% effective maybe now. And so what we're, but we can't talk about that because we're told that the science has been done. And the thing is like, is the science is exactly what I'm watching or looking at. But we can't talk about it here. And I find it just fascinating how we've been told, like, for instance, last summer, we had a whole summer of, you know, resistance, fighting against the state, you know, examining systemic racism, especially in the healthcare. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, well, yeah, they care about us now. Line me up and shoot me up.
So Robbie, let me ask, even if one have serious questions about the so-called science, as some people would say, in terms of the vaccine, I'm also troubled by, it seems that those who are resisting to vaccination often are those who are resistant to safe practices. They are the ones who are advocating for keeping all things open, no social distancing. So I'm fine. If you don't want to get a vaccine, that's fine. You want to wait for the next 50 years, that's fine. But don't insist that we all gather in public spaces without masks.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. You know, there is a pandemic going on, but I mean, for instance, we have the Pfizer CEO who has still not been vaccinated. The Pfizer, 50% of OHSU is not vaccinated, all these doctors and nurses. And then also the Moderna CEO.
Now I want to know where you're getting these facts. And it's not necessarily that I'm doubting you, but we just talked about with Cody. It's like, where is this information coming from so people can do their own research? So when you say this, where are you getting your facts?
OHSU, they were releasing the numbers because they were trying to get more people, and so they told the people that less than 50% of OHSU has been vaccinated.
Okay. And then you were saying...
But we're talking about how Moderna, I was going to talk about how Moderna, the CEO of Moderna, came out and talked about stuff regarding the vaccine that he developed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being fact-checked. He was being fact-checked on Facebook and Twitter for spreading misinformation. And this is the person who developed the literal vaccine.
Well, he's not the person that developed it. He's not the doctors. He's the CEO. Big difference.
Well, I would hope he would know how it runs, and if there was something that he was talking about, I don't know why it would be censored. But I think what I want to get at here is I think that there's a level of deception going on in the media. I think that people were taught or told that, you know, yeah, it's safe, but they're also literally starting the clinical trials on pregnant women July 22nd of this year. That means like 2 weeks ago. How many women knew that before? Like I would be very upset because we are told it's safe and effective, but yet there's no clinical trials to show it's done. It's not going to be done until 2024.
And could you reference that because you just stated it so we can check it?
Sure. Yeah, there's the clinicaltrials.gov website, and that's regarding the Pfizer and that's regarding Moderna and pregnant women. Do you want me to give you how can I provide that? it's a link here. I have it. It's clinicaltrials.gov CT2. I think if you type in clinicaltrials.gov Moderna COVID-19 pregnancy outcome study, you can see all the dates. It says July 22nd, 2021, and it's not going to be done until January 6th, 2024. So I think it should just be, I'm not against like what you were saying, Cecil. It's like, I'm not going to tell people to not mask. I'm not going to tell people to not do that. But at the same time, we should be telling them that this is being studied as they are taking it. So that way the people who volunteer and take it aren't forcing other people to take something that they don't want in their body.
And also I want to, I think you stated in terms of the CEO of Pfizer, he had received his second vaccine on March 2021. So that person is fully vaccinated.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was I was wrong about the CEO of Pfizer. Looks like 17 minutes ago, fact checked. Pfizer CEO fully vaccinated because he canceled his Israel trip in March. So maybe we're getting different. It says here that, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, who knows though, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I will say this, and I'm saying this to help you get people to hear you better. If you make a mistake on that, people are not sure that what you're telling them on another thing is true. So be certain of your facts. If you have to, write them down on a piece of paper and have them in front of you. Yes, there is human error. We make mistakes all the time. But I'm just saying, one of the things we're talking about in the show today is digging deeper and being careful who you listen to. So, you know, just thank you for the information. And that one website, one more time, the government website. Not that we're believing everything they say.
It's from the clinicaltrials.gov website.
Okay, clinicaltrials.gov.
I can provide it for you, but at the same time, it's like this is a part of it. Like, you're just not believing in the stuff that I was saying. But literally, if you're looking at the Pfizer thing, all these news articles just came out two days ago, mm-hmm. and it's a huge thing about fact checks saying that, oh, he's been vaccinated. So it's like, okay, yeah, so that must have just changed. That, you know, you need to give me a little bit of a, because those articles are less than 2 days old, but the which have been updated. But if you type in Moderna COVID-19 vaccine mRNA observational pregnancy outcome study, mm-hmm. and this is in the clinicaltrials.gov National Institute of Health, U.S. National Library of Medicine. This is like the .gov website, and it talks about Moderna starting their trial July 22nd, 2021. It's sad that I can't share stuff without the, because this has happened before where it's like all of a sudden the sources are being questioned, mm-hmm. and it's like, well, wait, had you looked up the thing that you're saying is not real anymore a week ago, it wouldn't have had these fact-checked articles that you're now using.
Right, and we all know, you know, that even though some things may be absolute truths, they don't have to be presented that way, which makes it even harder to figure out what's going on. But I do want to thank you for giving us that source. We got a full buffer, and it's getting later. We're going to move on to our next caller, and thank you so much for that website.
Thank you.
You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 if you're in the Columbia River Gorge. Along the Willamette River Valley, it is 104.3 and everywhere, KBOO.FM. Let's go to our next caller. Thank you, Sonia.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to make a brief comment.
What's your name?
My name is David.
Hi, David.
I was empathizing with the gentleman next to you earlier when I listened to a gentleman call in. And at the same time, he's espousing the benefits of the vaccine. He's espousing the data behind it. And having a family involved in genetics for a long, long time, COVID vaccines are nothing new. They've been with us for generations. We've been studying these things since everybody knows, is familiar with SARS, is familiar with MERS.
Right.
These are all vaccines. We were...
Beep them. Sorry, cut them off. I'm sorry. We are a vulnerable community radio station. I'm going to say this clearly as I can. That can cost us our license, which would mean everybody would lose their platform. That means everybody will lose their platform to talk. Okay? I know we're talking about something that makes emotions run high. As a matter of fact, I'm even talking about how we get angry and it impedes our ability to make good decisions. Ooh. But you have to protect the station. Because the same powers that don't want us to know and big money would not mind squashing a little station like KBOO. You know, forgive me for being so abrupt. I hope that somebody hit the dump button because I don't have one in here.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to our engineer, Sonia. Thank you. You know, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, David, like that. I got to protect the station. And I'm in an even more responsible position these days. So my apologies.
Let's go to the next David.
Okay.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
No profanity.
Okay. I'll try really hard. I want to point out that a couple of things that have happened. One is just this amazing thing that happened that got us this vaccine. And another thing is how our country got so divided.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an accident. It's not big money. It's us. We've decided we want to only listen to what we want to listen to and not hear facts that mess with our opinion. And because of that, the newspapers and the news outlets and the outlets of these so-called facts have catered to us. They want to sell their advertising, and because of that, they give us what we want. And one of the things we want is Facebook. And a lot of stuff goes on Facebook, but for example, that the vaccine has some kind of sci-fi thing called nanites, which was invented on Star Trek, and there were only 12 people the NSA went out and found that promoted this, and that it had some kind of tracking thing, and it was a huge deal on Facebook, and people believe that stuff. Facebook isn't a source for news. It's a source for opinion. Facebook isn't a source for facts. We have sources for facts.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but all of what you're saying, you know, still goes into my assertion that not everything that we're getting is what we want. You know, and we are also being manipulated into thinking this because somebody told us that nanites and nanobots were in our medicine, and you know, we wanted to believe that because we want to believe there's more than what we're being told going on.
Well, I'm sure there is more than what we're being told going on. That's always been the case, hasn't it? But there are great sources for facts out there. One of them was to follow how this vaccine got developed. And it really is a miracle. Mm-hmm. A guy who was very rich 5 years ago made a prediction on what the next big thing was going to be, mm-hmm. Because he had made a prediction 5 years before that of something that was going to be big, and it was right. So not that he would have been right, but he turned out he got lucky and he was right again. But he donated $1 billion. To Pfizer, $1 billion to Moderna, and $1 billion to the the company in India.
And who is this person, just for, yes, to hurry this along, because you know we're running out of time.
It's Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on the concept, it came from their studying of vaccines in Africa. His wife was into helping Africa, and because of that, they came upon this thing, this RNA vaccine, which was a rapid way to make vaccines happen. It is also significantly less risky than the DNA vaccines that we've made in the past. In the past, the way we've made vaccines is we damage the actual pathogen.
Okay, now this is good information, but we're all getting short of time, and so can you get to your point that you want to share with us?
I have 2 points. Number one, this vaccine came, we were begging for it, we were hoping for it, and we were pushing for it to come fast. And because of a 5-year-long of those donations, we got it. And yeah, it wasn't we didn't have time to do real testing on it. So we started giving it to the people who were dying right away, the people in the 85 and up range that were in extreme danger of dying from this vaccine. We started with that. And as we saw, nobody was having a problem with it. We started to give it to other people, people in younger ages, started at the 65, the 75 and under. And we, yeah, it was tested on human beings, but we were dying. More people died before this happened than in the, all wars that the United States has been involved in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. More people have died. And that's a fact. That's not a question. Nobody questions that fact. And so we wanted to stop that. And we gave the people who were dying most. And still, if you look at the statistics, the kids under 12 have less than 1% death rate from this. People under 18 have less than 1% death rate.
Okay, and your sources for this information?
Is the CDC website's studies on COVID.
Thank you.
If you look at the historical data, mm-hmm. On the CDC, which wasn't produced by the CDC, but it's published on their website. And for years and years and years, the CDC has been a wonderful source of information. It's where you go to find out you can't canned beans. You're supposed to canned beans in a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. That's I've done that for a long time. I've gone to that website. There's no question that they gave out the best information they had as soon as they had it. They're still doing it. You can look for yourself at the demographics of the people who are getting sick, who got sick, who caught it, who how many were hospitalized, and how many died. And the statistics are straightforward.
Yeah.
These vaccines have now been given to millions and millions and millions of people. And we're looking every day to see what kinds of consequences of that. And we found almost immediately about the Johnson & Johnson problem. Then we found it was only 7 in a million that had the blood clot problem, which was a very low rate compared to the death rate.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for that information.
And just to make sure that people realize that it is more than an academic or political argument, in the United States, 617,000 people have died.
Yes.
And worldwide, it's 4.3 million people have died from COVID.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the Portland metropolitan area. If you're in Philomath, you can hear us at 104.3. If you are in Hood River, you can hear us at 91.9. On the web is kboo.fm. And what's coming up at 9 o'clock?
The OMO Variety Hour will be here on KBOO at 9 o'clock.
All righty.
And that is a collective of people who bring critical thinking to news and information that you need to know. So stay tuned if you're listening live on Monday the 9th of August to KBOO for the OMO Variety Hour starting at 9 a.m.
And, you know, I want to encourage people to do a few things. You know, like our callers have said, one of our best sources of information has been the government, whether you go to the CDC website and look up information, whether you go to the clinical trials website and look up information. But I also don't want to forget the points that other callers brought up. And sending out apologies again, David, but, you know, hey, you know, sorry, because we need the error waves. We need KBOO intact more than we need your call. You know, but I know people have concerns and anger and frustration. But that is exactly the other part of the equation that we were sharing, is that look at how elements in our culture keep us either childlike or misinformed or in a state of agitation that makes it hard to be clear-headed about things, to be mature in your decisions, and be careful how information is offered to you. If it's offered to you and it's in this pretty package of beautiful primary colors, you know, that might be something that's trying to infantilize or make you childish, that denies your maturity in terms of age or experience. Or if it comes to you, even if it's good news, with a lot of loudness, you know, something that kind of makes you kind of have to step back. Maybe it's trying to engage your emotions in an unfair way. And, you know, take a deep breath and reassess the situation so that we're not kept in this state of confusion that makes it easy for us to be manipulated, persuaded, and or controlled. And thank everybody for calling. Cecil and I will be off for the next 2 weeks. He's taking a breather. And we'll catch you when we get back. We thank everyone for calling, for listening, and most of all for supporting your community, our community radio, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned.
Incarceration has straight from the source. We tell you the story from the inside out. So make sure to check us out on KBOO Community Radio every first Tuesday at 10 a.m.